Today we want to talk about seeing yourself whole. I want you to see yourself whole this year. What that really means is embracing the value of your person, your presence, and your purpose. Say that with me. Person, presence, purpose. I have them all. I want you to see yourself from the inside out, beginning to identify with the greater one that is within you, to begin to see yourself as enough. So much of our life, we spend our time trying to be more than what we need to be. And the Lord is telling you this morning, His grace is with you, and you're enough this morning. Look at somebody and say, you're enough this morning. I love you just like you are. Besides that, you look good too. Tell them they look good. Some of them in Viking jerseys, they look good. You're looking good this morning. I want you to embrace the divinity within because you are in the image and likeness of God. Say, I am a child of God. You just got done singing it for about 5 minutes. There's divinity within you. We need to discover it. You are a wonder. You have greatness within you, and you have eternity within you. Somebody say, that's the word. So wholeness is about identifying that, being aware of that, knowing that, and seeing also that you're wealthier, healthier, open, liberated, and energetic. I want you to see yourself wealthier. And wealth is not just about money. For those who hijack beautiful words in our culture, in its climate, we hijack beautiful words. Wealth means that you have an abundance of something. Some of you have an abundance of love and patience, or you have an abundance of talent, and all those things are something that can overflow and be given to someone else, let the church say. So wealth is not just about money, so shut that down. Wealth is about what's inside of you and your willingness to give it away. So I want to see myself wealthier, healthier, open, liberated, and energetic, childlike. Many of you are making out your New Year's resolutions. I have resolution sheets for you to make out in the hallway, and that's an important thing to do. But the sad thing about that is that 92% of them are going to fail. How many knew that to be true? And I always wonder, why is that? Why do 92% of them fail? Because we focus on the fruit and not the root. We need to begin to focus on our roots. And that's what seeing yourself whole is all about. Focusing on the greater one inside of you. There's something greater inside of you. But the tendency in life is to focus on the things that we've become or the things that we are. But there are divine roots that you can draw life from that can make a difference in your life. I want you to think about yourself as a tree this morning. And as a tree this morning, do trees eat their own fruit? Do trees eat their own fruit? So I want you to think about the fruit of your life, what you become, where you're at right now, things that you've done. I mean, if you are consuming those things, that's not very natural. But it also is a caution for you, too, is that you want to be a better person because others are consuming from your life. You are not designed to consume your own self, good, bad, or ugly. Let the church say amen. So there are times in my life that I was consuming too much of the bad of what I had brought into my life. Then I could be consumed with too much of the good and then be proud. I'm not consuming myself. I'm living myself from inside myself, the thing that God has given me. See, the default setting of an unrenewed mind is negativity. And here's the deal. The deception of an unrenewed mind is to believe that you are what you have done, what you have become, good, bad, or ugly. You know what? You are not your mistakes. Look at somebody and say, you're not a mistake. And you are not the mistakes that you made. That's just part of the process. The Bible says, by grace we are saved and not by works, so that no man can boast. This is a gift from God. So then if there's grace new every morning, guess what? Everything I do, good, bad, or ugly in this earth, it's part of the process. As long as my heart is set to do the will of the Lord, let the church say, amen. So here it is. You were created a whole person. You are already a whole person. You're just waiting to be discovered. See, everything you need is already inside of you. Give somebody a high five for that. Amen. Everything you need is already inside of you. You are a wonder. You have greatness within you. You have eternity within you. You have divine roots. And like Jesus and his divine roots, if you allow them to grow, you allow yourself to grow down into Christ. This is how Christ succeeded in the earth. He drew on the divinity within him. And he did not rely on the good or the evil of a day. He instead lived from the tree of life. Somebody say, this is living. And this is living. Here's the deal. And my wife, I put this up here for my wife, because she says, anytime I'm about to put somebody in their place, I always premise it by, here's the deal. And you know what she actually says at home? Honey, don't you here's the deal me. You just here's the deal me. She's got me so self-conscious now, I figured I'd just put it up in living color. Here it is. Here's the deal. You can be whole, but not yet be healthy. Right on. You can be whole and not yet be wealthy. You can be whole and not yet be open, liberated, or energetic. But guess what? Tell somebody this. Are you ready? Say, I'm still alive. This is a temporary condition. Amen. I ain't going to stay here. I'm on my way. Let's stand up together and read some scripture. Are you on your way? Right on. It's just part of the journey. We're going to talk about the portrait of a truly whole person in the woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years of her life and how she encountered Jesus because of a few principles that are going to help you in your journey to success. Let's read scripture together. Are you ready? Luke 13, 10 through 16. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to himself. Why don't you glorify God with her right now? Amen. May God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, put you together, spirit, soul, and body. Let us declare the miracle of abundant life. Lord, I now relinquish all grievances, resentments, and regrets, and I choose the miracle. Let's pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Yes, give God praise. You can never give God enough praise. Here it is. The portrait of a truly whole person. There are six important words that I want you to pay attention to in this narrative. And here they are. Say them as they appear on the screen. Ready? Say it. Yes. 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 And so those six things I want you to pay attention to, because they're going to be your toolbox. Your toolbox for managing the unseen. How many know that the unseen is all around you, and that everything about you being a Christian talks about the unseen and how it impacts you? Even when he tells you to move in God on a daily basis, he says you are to walk by faith and not by what? Sight. So he's saying to you that faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. So the unseen must have a profound effect on us, and we need to be aware of it. We need to be aware of the impact of invisible disabilities. Invisible disabilities. So understanding that impact, in recap, this is spirit, it's infirmity, consistency, Jesus, culture, and entitlement. So let's look at the spirit, for instance. When you think about the spirit, you think of analogies of the spirit. In the Greek, the Bible talks about the analogy of spirit, meaning upward flow or current or an updraft. The spirit is moving. Even in the story of Nicodemus, when Jesus talked to him about being born again or being born of spirit or having a consciousness change, he says, the Spirit does what it wants. It moves like the wind, and it has an intellect of its own, and it does what it needs to do. And figuratively, the Spirit does have intellect, and it does have emotion beyond a plant or animal, which has existence, but it has an intellect and an understanding. For the Job said this, the Spirit of God has made me and breathed it. The breath of the Almighty is in my life and gives me life. And literally, the Spirit around you and the spirits around you are superhuman. Everyone say superhuman. The unseen is superhuman. There are angels. There are demons. God himself is a spirit. He says, I am a spirit, and those who will worship me in this order, in spirit first, then in truth. In other words, he's saying, you can't understand anything you read about me. Somebody say the truth. You can read the truth, but if you don't have a relationship on what the truth is about, it's hard-pressed to understand who he really is. You can't know me just by looking at what I'm wearing this morning. Somebody might not like my tore-up jeans this morning, but that doesn't mean you know me because I wore tore-up jeans. Just might mean that he's kind of a fancy boy. Amen. He's fancy. He's stuck in the 70s. A little bit. But the reality is that if you want to know me, you got to talk to me. Take me to Caribou, buy me a macchiato with an extra shot of espresso, and talk to me. For he who are going to connect and worship, they must worship him first personally, then understand me. And let the church say. And that's in every relationship in life. The only way you know it is to talk to him. The Bible said in the beginning, he created you from the dust of the ground, and then he breathed life into your nostrils, and you became a living soul. He breathed his spirit, his unseen power, he breathed into you, and it literally brought you alive. Jesus said, literally, spirit represents word. For he says that my words that I speak to you are spirit and their life. They have unseen power. They have unseen energy. And as quick as you say it, they have an impact on someone. Let the church say amen. And what you need to remember, for every principle there's positive, there's an equal negative principle. If my words can be life, my words can also be death. For the Bible says there is life and death, and the power of the tongue is life and death. And that you need to be aware of it. He is so critical about the way you speak that he says that the primary judgment of a Christian in the end is on every idle word. Not whether you are an adulterer or not, whether you did wicked things or not. No, what did you say? How did you say it? Who did you say it to? When did you say it? Did you ever take inventory of the power of the words in your life and how they may impact? So everybody said, the Spirit. And the Bible said there was a woman who had a spirit. She had an unseen force due to words, angels, or demons affecting her person, presence, and purpose. Amen. And everyone in this room are encountering the same thing on a daily basis. You have unseen forces, and the Lord wants to help you with them. He wants to help you identify them. The second word is infirmity, and infirmity is really a word that speaks about your health, your condition, a state of being weak, or the body, or especially as we're aging, that we're implied to have infirmities or frailty or debilitation or feebleness, weakness, malady, ailment, disorder, sickness, disease, or illness. Everyone said infirmity. The other day I was picking up the puppy from the where we take her for babysitting once a week, and little Lily is there, and there was a door that wasn't usually open, and this door was open, and this really beautiful but very old dog walked out. And she looked at me. And I was kind of half joking. I said, oh, this is the infirmary. because I thought maybe she had been naughty with the other dogs and she gets put in detention, dog detention. But the owner said, no, John, it is really the infirmary. She's very sick. She has heart issues. And almost wept. Instead, I just said, can I touch her? And she said, oh, absolutely. And I reached out and I rubbed my hands over the bones, skeleton. It was coming right through the skin. And each time I did it, I just began to speak words of life and say, you're beautiful and you're blessed. I love you. And I understand frailty. And I understand sickness. And I understand disease. And I understand illness. And I love you. And I pray for you. And you're just drawn like Jesus to the suffering of others, even our pets. Amen. And now the door is open and she comes out to greet me all the time. Give me that massage again, brother. But it was a spirit of infirmity that she had. And she said she had a number of heart attacks. A dog. But it was an unseen force that was negatively affecting her person, presence, and purpose and can eventually manifest in sickness. That there are unseen forces that can impact your life at one point, but if it stays with you long enough, it could bring you to a place where it begins to impact your health. And so then, the woman was there at church. Everybody say, she showed up for church. Just like you, she showed up for church. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. And it bent her over in a way that she could not raise herself up. So it was not the sickness that did it. It was not the disease that did it. It was something that happened that was unseen years ago in her life. That was why it was very clear to tell you, this happened 18 years ago. And just to make it very clear, the bending over didn't happen 18 years ago. I'm not quite sure when she was bent over. I'm not sure if it was in the third year, the sixth year, the seventh year, the 12th year. But somewhere along the line, something happened in her life that stayed with her, that brought her to a place that she looked like this. And these spirits or unseen forces, they come from negative and careless words and actions towards you when you are most vulnerable. When we were in our sessions yesterday, Eric and I and others, we were sharing vulnerability stories, moments in our life where we remember that we were most vulnerable, where something positive happened or something not so good happened, and it stayed with you. And I shared with Eric about an experience from my childhood, from my earliest memory. And as I'm sharing, I begin to cry about it, and I said, well, you know, I didn't really think about it, but that stayed with me probably 10 years of my adolescence. And it was such a traumatic experience. It was like post-traumatic stress disorder because of it. And all I remember is that I was a bashful kid or I was an awkward kid or I was sick a lot when I was in kindergarten, first and second grade. And now when anybody ever look hindsight in your life and you go, oh my, that really happened. Oh my, that makes sense. I wasn't just kind of slow, or I wasn't just kind of awkward. There was things going on before I even knew they were going on. There was things I was exposed to that at the most vulnerable time that took advantage of me. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your love that even give us power over that. Amen. But in this woman's life, something happened along the way. Emotional, sexual, a threat, a criminal. Something went wrong. I've watched the Me Too movement on the internet where people are coming out of the woodwork saying, this happened to me. And maybe for the first time in their life, they're saying and being liberated, saying, this happened to me. Do you realize one of every six women have gone through some type of sexual assault? One out of every six. That means that when I have a family reunion at my house of my four daughters, my wife, and my daughter-in-law, that means there's a potential that one of them has been harmed at a vulnerable time in their life. Wow. Thank you, Lord, for the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, that nothing is impossible with him. There is no healing he cannot provide. There is no breakthrough that he cannot perform. Amen. Hallelujah. But somehow, some way, this woman was affected 18 years prior to when Jesus saw her. For a matter of fact, Jesus was in a habit of dealing with women particularly that had the spirit of infirmity. How many still here? When I traveled as an evangelist for North Central University, we would go, and there was a five guys in this group. We'd sing and do concerts. I'd preach, and then we'd minister at the altars. And while I was at the altars, we would pray for the different teenagers, junior teens, senior teens. And we would compare notes later on in the evening. We're sitting in our host home, and we'd say, "Hey, guys, what happened to you?" And they'd tell me stories. I'd say, "Boy, this poor kid, I feel so sorry for him." And every night, I would tell them a story about some young lady that would come to me and talk about abuse. And they would say, "Well, no, that never happens to us. You hear this." And this is before you knew anything about, you know, laws that require you to report things and stuff. How many are still here? Still listening? And I begin to realize is that, oh, Lord, so I guess that's good that someone would feel safe to tell me such a dark secret. Imagine that was what Jesus was like. I had a moment of clarity where I said, oh, there might be a part of me that's kind of like Jesus, and I didn't know it. Because in Jesus' life, there was always women that would come to him, and they would have, the Bible says here, in a certain woman, they had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Everybody say evil spirits. Evil spirits and infirmity. Boy, we throw that word around, you know, demons and evil spirits, as if somebody wants that. As if somebody wants to be demonic or evil or wrong. Nobody want that. But what he was saying to you is that something happened in these women's lives at some point, young men, young women, that caused a spirit or something to attach to them that walked through them, that affected their thought process, their emotions, their feelings, and they didn't know why. He said, even Mary Magdalene, who Jesus cast, how many? What does it say? Seven devils out of her. Because, you know, the old guard Christians, you know, you thought he was just doing the old Benny Hinn thing or something. Come out, come out, come out. I don't think Jesus ever did that. I think Jesus loves stuff out of people. I think people who had heavy burdens, that were hurt by life, who felt isolated or invisible, somehow felt like, I can go to this guy. This guy will listen, or this guy will help me, and this guy will not hurt me. And suddenly they would come around him, and as they would get close, they would begin sharing stories, and he would hold their hand and say, I understand, and I get it. I understand rejection. And with every time he said he understood, or with every time he took time and listened, one demon went and another demon went, because the person realized, I'm not alone. I am not alone. And that's what the Me Too Union movement did. It did what Jesus did. It gave them an avenue to say, this happened to me. This happened to me. And as each one of them came out of the closet, it wasn't that they were going to do a lawsuit, or they were going to bring harm to someone, or expose someone unnecessarily. The majority of them just wanted to be free. And they needed a Jesus kind of movement, and a Jesus kind of personality, and a Jesus kind of moment that let those that are hurting say, yes, I am one of them, and yes, I am free. In Jesus' name. And I think 1, 2, 3, and before you know it, she could look back at her life and say, you know, there were 7 things and 7 moments in my life when this happened. Or the diagnosis, or, you know, any number of things it could have been. And depending on where you were when it happened would determine what attached itself to you. Guess what? This morning, Jesus doesn't want it attached to you anymore. He wants you to be free. Say, Lord, set me free, because there is greatness within me, and I am a wonder, and eternity lives with me, and I'm not going to live vicariously through what happened to me and who I've become. I'm going to begin to live from the inside out in Jesus' name, and let the church say, amen. But here's another thing about this girl, too, was this, that she was consistent. She was consistent. It may have happened 18 years ago, may have hurt her. It may have ended up one day where she was bent over, but she kept going to church. Everybody say she kept going to church. I mean, imagine if, you know, we think about her being an older woman because she was bent over, but what was she if she was 18? And chances are, based on the life expectancy of that time, she was probably a teenager. And if she was 18 and it's been 18 years, how old would she be? 36 years old. And, you know, this is Marilyn Monroe. Marilyn Monroe said when she was 36 years old that I'm just beginning to live. Of course, by the end of that year, she committed suicide. Somebody say, never quit. God is for you. She had a routine. She never quit. She had a habit. She never quit. She had a custom. Everybody say, I've got a custom. A custom is a tradition, an accepted way of behaving or doing something that is specific to my particular society, place, or time. Because she was a good Hebrew girl, she went to the synagogue. She read the Torah. She read the fourth commandment that said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So one day over those 18 years, she remembered the Sabbath one more time. But on this particular Sabbath day, Jesus was there. The Bible says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, where you do that at church. And let us not neglect our assembling together and meeting together as the custom, habit, and routine of many Christians. Not this girl. She kept going, because being defeated is often a temporary condition, but giving up is what makes it permanent. Say this with me. Tell somebody right now. Never give up. Say this to somebody. If you believe it, put your hands together and give God praise. God is for you. He's never been against you. Even though the fruit and the seed, and even though things in your life have not come around the way you think they should, God has never given up on you, and God is for you today. So let's look at the final word we're going to cover today, and that final word is Jesus. Shout it out. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. One more time. Jesus. Right on, because there is a moment in life that your life says, but Jesus. I got 18 years. Something went wrong 18 years ago. I can't get over it. It's beat me down so bad. It's starting to affect my body. I'm in treatment. I'm going through some weird medication to fix it. What's going on with me? How did I get to this place? But somehow, some way, if you stay consistent, you will have a but Jesus in your life. But Jesus when he saw her. He sees you. He knows your name. I see you. He called to her and said to her, woman, everybody say it together. You are loose from your infirmity. You are loose from that unseen thing. You are loose from that moment in time. Doesn't mean you're never going to remember again. Just today, you're going to look down on it and not up at it anymore. Amen. You're going to get it under your feet, and it's not going to be above you anymore. You're going to realize that with me, you have a greater one within you that can overcome anything in your life, because everything that you need is already inside of you, because you have divine roots this morning. You are in the image and likeness of God this morning, and all he's trying to do this morning is to draw you back to see yourself whole, because you were already whole from the beginning. You just need to rediscover that person within you. Let the church say amen. He said, you are loose, and then he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and you know what the girl did? She went to praising God like crazy, hallelujah, because guess what? When I stand up and I'm okay, may as well praise God. See, here's the deal. He called her. He spoke to her. And he touched her. Eighteen years ago, it may have been someone else who called her. It may have been someone else of authority who spoke to her. It may have been someone else of authority who touched her. But today, Jesus is speaking to you and calling you, and is ready to touch you where you are. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, with every head bow and every eye close. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many sense the Lord calling you this morning? Lift your hand up. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. How many of you sense the Lord speaking to you this morning? How many of you throughout this service have felt his touch and now realize that was Jesus who touched me? He touched my emotions. He touched my feelings. He touched my humanity. He touched my pain. He read my letters. He heard my cry. This is not going to take long, because you know what Jesus did? Jesus just touched her. And when a moment raised her up. And now this prayer we are going to pray will be Jesus touching you. And whatever had you bent over or was bending you over and bringing you down, he is going to elevate you and restore you and lift you above. Hallelujah. Is that how great is our God? Great is our God. Sing with me how great our God. How great is our God. Name above. He's lifting your head. He's lifting your burden. It's happening right now. Just go ahead. You can go ahead and respond any way you need to respond. How great is our God. Tomorrow's going to be different. Today is going to be different. Because of Jesus, who is also spiritual and a spirit. And now a fresh new anointing is coming over you. A spirit of the living God that liberates you. A spirit that empowers you and gives you divine right and privilege to lift up your head and believe that nothing is impossible. Praise God. How great is our God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now for this moment in time. And we thank you for the liberation that we are experiencing in this room and the liberation that will follow them. Because, Lord, if a spirit of infirmity can follow me for 18 years, most certainly the Spirit of God that is on them in this room will walk them out the door this morning, into their car, into the parking lot, wherever they're going to go, wherever they'll be. Jesus will be there, and he will be more apparent than he's ever been, because today the Spirit of the living God has replaced the spirit of infirmity in your life. It no longer dominates you anymore. Everyone say this with me. I believe God created the heavens and the earth. I believe Jesus is the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a sinless life. I believe Jesus made a decision out of love and obedience, went to the cross and died for all humanity. I believe that on the third day, the Father brought him back to life again. I believe the same Spirit that raised Christ from the grave, the same unseen force that raised Christ from the grave, now lives in me, empowering me to do the good, acceptable, and perfect will of my Father in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, and let the church say, give it up for the Lord as you're sitting down all around the room.